Tape done by Joan Weaver at the Kinsley Library on September 26, 2005. And the interviewee is Earl McBride, a lifelong resident of Edwards County.
Okay, my name is Earl McBride and I'm 90 years old. I was born in Edwards County and have lived most of my life in Edwards County. When I retired from farming, I moved to Larned, which is Pawnee County, the adjoining county. My parents came to Kansas in 1913 from Indiana. My grandparents on the McBride side were moving to Kansas, and dad and mother ran off and got married. They were 16 and 17 years old. They arrived in Kinsley in 1913, I think it was in the fall of the year, and they had less than $5. Dad went over to the old Farmers Commission Company at that time and got a job unloading carloads of coal. And I've often thought if I had to unload a carload of coal with a shovel into a bin, that I'd probably crawl off the side and went someplace else. They came to Kansas in the boxcar with their dad's parents' livestock, two horses, a cow, and their furniture. They ferried across the Ohio River from Mauport, Indiana, got on the train at Brandenburg, Kentucky, and then came out through that way to Kansas. I was about 9 years old when I first got to go back to Kentucky, to Indiana, to visit my grandparents. And I remember very well going to Brandenburg, Kentucky, and ferrying across the Ohio River in a rowboat to get to Mauport, Indiana. Dad, after he worked at the co-op for some time, got a chance to carry the mail from Kinsley to Fellsburg, which they called the Star Route. It was following the name of a vet that had the route, and he was wanting to sell it. He had two little teams of mules. He drove one team one day, the other team the next day in a covered buggy. And that's the banker, Mr. Tubbs, who was a banker here at that time, came to Dad and asked him if he'd like to have that route. And Dad said, well, he didn't have any money. He couldn't buy anything. And Mr. Tubbs told him that he'd buy it for him and take his note, that he could pay for it. And I know that he gave $90 for the outfit for the two horned mules and the buggy, but I don't know what kind of note he had or anything. But he carried the mail for about 4 years and made a trip every day but Sunday. Like I said, he drove one team of mules one day and drove it to another team the next day. Well, then the railroad came through from Wichita to Kinsley and had a spur at Truesdale and went up to Sook and Belfry and up that way. And they, of course, got the contract for the mail. And the postmaster in Kinsley at that time wanted Dad to take the examination. They had an opening for a mail route out north of town here. But he had all the mail carrying he wanted. And he turned it down, and in doing so, in less than a year's time, while the fellow that got the route had a Model T Ford and started carrying it with an automobile. During that time that he wasn't working for anyone, he hauled water for Mr. Akins, had a thrash machine and thrashed wheat up north of Kinsley here. Dad got a job of being hauling water for the steam engine, which they called him the water monkey. And mother had a job cooking in the cook shack for the men on the thrashing crew. Well, of course, that job ended in the fall, and after it closed, well, there was a bachelor outside of Kinsley by the name of Frank Shipley that was looking for someone to shuck corn for him, and Dad went out and shucked corn for him. And then through that acquaintance, why, he asked him the next year if Mother would come out and cook for him for harvest, and Dad could work for the harvest field, which he accepted. The both of them accepted that job, and they went out there and went to work. And through that friendship, in order to keep them Nashville, I guess, so he'd have a cook and a dad and a hired man. He offered him a third interest in the farm if they would stay with him, and that's how Dad got his start in farming. And that partnership lasted from the time I was 6 years old until I was a sophomore in high school. We moved to the Taylor farm south of Kinsley, and we lived there until after, well, I lived there until the time that I got married. But those were trying times during the time that we moved to the Taylor place in 1931, and Dad let me plant 80 acres of wheat. That was my experience in farming. However, when I graduated from high school, I didn't want to farm. I wanted to be a lawyer, and probably if I had, had money enough to do that, I might have been a politician. Now, who knows? That was history that I missed out on. I started to high to grade school in a country school in what was known as the nursery school. It was a school district in, on the land of the late Will King Sr., and I think he homesteaded that quarter land and put it, homesteaded it as a tree claim. In doing so, then he planted a lot of trees on it, and that was always known as the nursery school. I went to school there 3 years. My first teacher was Alice Smith. She later got married that year and then ran for county superintendent and was county superintendent all the time that I was in country school. My first second grade teacher was Elsie Wright, and she was also my third grade teacher. Then we moved and moved to the Wendell District. And the Wendell School District was original town site of Wendell, which is a lot of history about that that I have heard, but I couldn't vouch for it. But I do know that some of the buildings from the Wendell town site was purchased by a Parvin Belcher and moved to his farmstead, which was a half a mile from the original town site of Wendell, and he still owns that land. Lee Belcher, his son, owns the land now, and they have some of those buildings are still there, and I'm not familiar with which ones they are. I graduated from the eighth grade at Wendell in 1929, and there was four of us in the eighth grade class, Vivian Belcher, Vern Livengood, Raymond Melling, and myself. Centerview had come into being in the meantime, and that was the original place for everyone in Wendell to go to high school. However, my dad wanted me to play football, and I wanted to play football myself, so I went to Greensburg High School. I started driving down and forth down there, which was 12 miles, and I drove about 6 weeks in a Model T Ford, and then Dad traded for a 1929 Model A, and I drove that Model A all the time I was in high school. I started high school on my birthday in 1929, I graduated from Greensburg High School in the spring of 1933. Many enjoyable days I spent in Greensburg, and our football team wasn't too busy, but we played it anyway. Basketball and baseball. After getting out of high school, we were in the middle of the dirty 30s, the depression that everyone knows about. The younger generation doesn't know about it, but they haven't been able to read about it. And one of the things that I remember about it was Dad and I were working on a windmill one day, and we could see this black, looked like a black cloud coming from the north, and he said, we probably better get down off here, that thing's going to hit here pretty soon. We got down off of the tower, and when it hit, it was just turned the afternoon into darkness. I never will forget the chickens home running to get the chicken house and go to roost. Quite a feeling for them. On my first wheat crop, it made 13 bushels the acre, and folks were worrying about whether I'd be able to go to Greensburg High School or not. I said, don't worry, I'll use my wheat, and I'll go on that. We had a Model A Ford truck that held 60 bushels, and every Saturday I'd load it up with wheat, take it to the elevator, and got anywhere from 18 to 25 cents a bushel for wheat. So so you can see how much money I had. When Christmas came, I was out of wheat and broke. But I did, but the folks did manage to let me finish up going to school in Greensburg, which I've always been grateful for doing that. For entertainment during this period of time, we had a town team baseball team at Centerview. I played on that. I had also had a basketball team over there, and I played on that. And during this time, Dad got a job working on the WPA on the highway, building the horses. Of course, I was young man wanting something to do, and he let me go and work in his place. And I had four big horses, which Dad always had good horses. I had worked horses in the field, so it was no new venture for me. And after the road was finished, we got a road boss got a contract to build a curve on 183 Highway for the Real Craft family. And I remember working on that for about 6 weeks to build a curve. During this time that I was traveling and around with the basketball team, playing basketball games, I met a young lady at Felsburg who was a senior in high school. Her name was Fern Meyer. And we started a friendship at first and later developed into more than that. She was a school teacher and taught school at the Charlotte School, which is a country school, no longer in existence. That school was it was in M. Scott's territory, in a little town called Williams. It had an elevator, two elevators, and it had a lumber yard, and I don't remember whether it had a grocery store or not. It wasn't as big as Centerview. However, it was bigger than Hodges, which in later years, my dad bought the land that Hodges set on, and the two pits, the silo, are still out in the field. And he bought it from Henry Sater's son, who owned the place originally. I've forgotten where I was.
Well, you were talking about
Fern.
Yeah.
Well, Fern,
she
had to walk to school, and she stayed with a family named Meade, and Meade's wife taught school at the Taylor School, which was close to where we lived. I don't know why they called it the Taylor School. It didn't sit on land that Taylor owned. It sat on Esslinger land, but it was always known as the Taylor School. And they would take her up to the corner and let her off, and then she'd walk north for half a mile. It would get pretty cold. She could tell you a lot of stories about having to build a fire and find the pump and draw it out where it froze. But she taught there 2 years, and then we decided to get married. I don't know, we kind of like my dad, we got married on nothing. But I did have a farm rented. The farm was known as the Wright Place, and it belonged to Madonna Anderson's parents. And I don't know whether they had a mortgage on it or whether they didn't, but anyway, they turned it over to the Warren Mortgage Company, and Ed Taylor and Hugh Taylor in the abstract business there, Taylor's and son, had the mortgage, had the agency for Warren Mortgage Companies, and that's how I got the farm. And I had it planted to wheat, a beautiful prospect for wheat crop and life, and I thought I had everything under control. We had a little rain and hail, and I did have it insured for hail, and I called up to get the hail detector to come out. And then when they called and said he was going to come, I didn't know how to talk to a hail disaster. I'd heard that they were hard to get along with, so I called my dad up to have him come over when he was there, and he was standing around behind the fella, and it was a beautiful wheat crop. It wasn't headed out yet, and the fella said, "I don't think you've got much loss here. If it heads out, you'll never be able to tell it, but he said, I'll give you 18% loss today if you want to sell it." My dad was standing around behind him, nodding his head up and down to take it, so I took the 18%, which paid for the premium. I went down anything on that. the wheat, due to that little shower of rain, we had black rust got in it, and it made 4 bushels per acre and tested 48. The fellow that came out to buy wheat at the elevator was looking for a place to board, and he was going to sleep in the elevator office. He went up to Scott's, and Mr. Scott said that they would feed him, but it was a young couple that just got married, moved in down there, and if she would want to cook for him, like, he would recommend that they go down there. So he came down to talk to us, and was for the ticket would have to make a dollar. And he was a real nice old gentleman, and he bought the wheat. I couldn't sell it anywhere else because it was so light. And I won't tell you how I got rid of it, because that's a secret among millers. We lived there 1 year, and the farm sold. We moved to the Ed Hill farm, which was closer to Kinsley, about 6 miles south of Kinsley here. And the farm at the present time is owned by Herman Kastner. But anyway, we lived there 2 years, and then one day, a young fellow that I had known when I was a kid, I worked for 50 cents a day, whatever, to get a job. And I always liked to work for Rollo because he would pay me 75 cents a day. His son came in and stopped and wanted to know if I'd be interested in renting another farm. And I told him, I said, when you're living on a rented farm, you're always looking for a better place. And he said his grandmother's farm was going to be for rent, and his dad and his mother were in Texas, and they'd be home in a few days. Why didn't I come down a certain day and talk to his dad, which I did, and his dad wasn't home yet, so I had to go back the next day. But he told me that he was the administrator of the farm and looked after for his mother-in-law, but he was forbidden to come on the place. He had some trouble with his sister-in-law. But anyway, he said he wouldn't take it away from him, but he heard that he was going to move to a place he bought south of Greensburg, and he said, if anything happens, I'll let you know. Well, we were at the breakfast table one morning at the Hill place, kind of the end of the line, because the road didn't go north from there, and it either had to turn and go west or go east or come from the south. And we saw this light coming from the south. We made a remark, wondering who was out that early in the morning, but anyway, it came up and drove in the yard, and the firm said, who is it? And I looked out the window and I said, what's Rollo? She said, you don't reckon he's come to rent us a place, do you? And that's what he came for. We rented the farm. It was about halfway between Salisbury and Centerview, 4 miles south. It was a modern home, had a basement, a furnace. It was cold, it had registers upstairs, it had a bathroom. And we absolutely were thrilled to that. We moved there in 1941, and we knew when we moved there that when Mrs. Geichendahl died, that the place would be for sale. However, she lived to be a ripe old age, and we lived there until 1951, when the place sold. And of course, we tried to buy it, but we didn't have the money before it got where it sold. So then Burns folks moved to Kinsley, and we took over their farm, which was known as the Sheriff Farm. And Sylvester Sheriff that place, and he was the grandfather of my wife, and he homesteaded it in 1800 and something, and had accumulated a section of land there and some land out west. And Burns' dad had bought a quarter of land, and we moved there, and then a short time later, we rented the half section of the north half that belonged to Burns' hands and later bought it. While we were living at the Geichendahl place, our children were born, Carol and Bonita, and I never will forget when they started the school, what a thrill it was for them, and their mother didn't think of it too much. Well, she watched Terrell get on the bus that morning and had to have a little cry, and I think she did the same thing with Bonita. But anyway, they went to Centerview and to school, and Terrell was in the fourth grade when we consolidated the district with Lewis, and Bonita was in the second grade. And I never will forget one night I was out in the yard, and Bonita got off the school bus, and as soon as she saw me, she started crying. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I hate those Lewis kids." I said, "Well, why? Why do you hate them, Bonnie?" She said, "They had moved the playground equipment from Centerview up to Lewis so they'd have more of it." She says, "They think they own that slide and that merry-go-round that's ours." I had a hard time convincing her that she was a part of that now, to go not to think anything about it, but go ahead and play on the ground. We had some good times and some bad times in farming in our years in the Sherrick Way. We farmed it until 1980 when we retired. We had a sale and we didn't know where we wanted to go. We stayed there on the farm until 1988. In the spring of 1988, we built a home in Larned. And in the meantime, we had started traveling. We'd go someplace in wintertime every year, and we bought a trailer and a pickup to pull it with, and we had some wonderful travels. We got in with a couple from Cullison that were traveling too, and they had a trailer, and we had one, and one time we went on a trip to Canada. We were gone 7 weeks, we traveled 8,000 miles. We went up to Yellowstone National Park and up to Kalispell, Montana, over into Canada, and then we went down the Fraser Canyon in Canada to Victoria and Vancouver, and came back down the west coast of California. So stopped one day, we only traveled 200 miles. I think we stopped at every pull off with the weather on the ocean. Look at whales and sea lions. Just a wonderful trip. We took an airplane and flew over Mount St. Helens about a year after she had erupted. And that's a sight I'll never forget. Trees at that time were still smoldering in there, and they were having to haul them out because they didn't want to lose the lumber, and they had termites would get in those trees and eat the lumber up, so they had to get them out of there. After we moved to Larned, we rented our farm to Tom Stasekin, a young fellow from Larned who was running the farms for small farms in our neighborhood. And of course, we rented Dad's place out here to Jay White, who was a neighbor. For the last 25 years, we've spent in Mesa, Arizona. The park has changed hands twice, and it's now known as Mesa Spirit. It was Travel Village when we first went there. And we've made a lot of wonderful friends out there. Our rent is paid. We plan to go back again this year. When we first started going out there, when our parents were still living, we didn't go until after Christmas. And after the parents were gone, the grandsons think that best place in the world to go is to Grandpa and Grandma's in Mesa, Arizona, at Christmas time. And they still come out there. And we look forward to it. There's only seven in our family. We have a little family reunion every year in Mesa, Arizona. We still belong to the Methodist Church in Lewis, which we joined when we moved to school, consolidated, moved to Lewis. The old original church is Roy Brown bought it and moved it to the Historical Society here in Kinsley, and the people of Centerview came up here, Centerview came up here 1 year and we painted it. And the schoolhouse that I went to school in Wendell was moved when we consolidated the district of Centerview, was moved to Centerview, and we came to the hot lunch kitchen, and it's still there, but not taking any care of it, and it's pretty bad to dilapidate it and be cleaned out. But as I said, we both belong to the Methodist Church at Lewis, and we still go there, and we praise God all the time for His goodness and blessings to us for not only our years in life, but the health that we have. And I think I've talked enough. I thank you very much for your time.
Practice talking. Well, I have a drink then. Okay, you were going to tell me about your parents' courtship.
Well, they walked.
Because they were so young.
Yeah, they were young then.
And where was this?
This was in Indiana. And mother's original address was Laconia, Indiana. And dad's was Montfort. And in reality, they just lived across the creek from each other. But if you lived on one side of the creek, you lived from that. And one of the peculiar things, well, I'd say peculiar, but one of the interesting things about the people back in those days, they had every family was kind of lived in a community of their own, and they all had their own cemetery. You know, where they were buried. And like my mother's name was Miller, and it was the Miller Cemetery. And after my mother died, my dad remarried, and he married a wonderful lady from Hot Springs, Arkansas. And when she died, we took her back to Arkansas to burial, where her husband was, and it was in the Young Cemetery. And we don't do so much of that in this area, but that was the way it was back there. Dad had an uncle who had a leg, one leg shorter than the other, and he was a mail carrier. And he had a horse and buggy. And Dad said that he remembered three or four different times that he owned these buggy to the horse, but Dad, he could get mother. He really had a courtship in that buggy. But other than that, they walked. And mother's dad and her younger brother, the only brother she had, got pneumonia. And her dad died, and her brother lost a lung. And he ended up crippled. He was drawn real bad to the side. He never did fully mature in stature. And he got pneumonia after mother went to campus and died then, too. She was the only relative she had back there was a sister and her mother. And we made, in my lifetime, we made three trips back to see him. My mother was pretty perturbed with my mother to run him off and get him married at that young age. She didn't, wasn't too friendly with her for quite some time, but she finally got over it. And she had some property back there, and when she died, well, she had left it all to her younger daughter, my mother's sister. And we got a, my sister and I got a letter from lawyer back there saying that we had been willed out on the law if we wanted to contest the will. Of course, we had a talk. My grandmother was blind for the last 5 years of her life. Her daughter and husband was able to take care of it. We figured they'd walk away. We wrote back and we weren't interested in it at all. We wanted to contest it. However, unusual circumstances happened a year ago. I got a letter from the oil company in Texas stating that I had some Miller Lite land in Indiana. I wanted to lease it for gas. I couldn't imagine why it is. And, so I contacted my cousin back there and asked him what the deal was. And when my granddad died, he never did anything about his estate. Grandmother just took it over, and she never did anything about it either. She knew she got it. But what happened, the rental rights were still in my granddad's name. So Paulina, of course, had passed away before that time. Her son and daughter got the same letter that I did, and we leased the ground. What it amounts to, I've got a lease on 2.5 acres of ground, but I have a gas pump. At the present time, I've got about $70-some probably on the gas list. But the problem is that after the folks moved here,